La această reuniune de la Viena, în formatul 5 plus 2, pe tema crizei transnistrene, ați abordat probleme privind facilitarea liberei circulații, aspecte economice și cele legate de mediul înconjurător. Doamna ambasadoare, sunteți mulțumită de rezultatele acestor discuții din capitala Austriei?
Well, that's probably the most difficult question you can ask me. Am I satisfied with the results of the negotiations? The question is, of course, the answer is, of course, yes and no. I would be satisfied when the conflict is solved and people on both sides of the river and throughout the region can live a life free of fear and in greater prosperity. So I will be satisfied when we reach that point. But I'm not unsatisfied with the two sides coming together and making an effort to work on confidence building measures to be able to improve in some way people's lives on both sides of the river. So I am happy to see them signing a protocol concerning ecology and the environment. I think that's a good step. They also pledged to move forward on law enforcement cooperation, which I think is also a good step. And even though I can't tell you that we moved closer to an agreement on freedom of movement, which had opened the Gorobikli-Bichok Bridge, still we're talking about it, and I can't imagine how the leadership on either side of the river would want that bridge to remain closed. So I'm looking forward to the goodwill on both sides to be able to take the measures necessary, find the common ground to open up that bridge.
Podul dintre satele Gura Bâcului și Bicioc a fost aruncat în aer în perioada conflictului armat de Penistru în 1992. Deși a fost reparat de vreo 13 ani, traficul rutier nu a mai putut fi reluat. Specialiștii spun că starea podului este relativ bună. De ce nu se știe când va fi inaugurat acest coridor de transport?
Well, I think it's very frustrating for me to sit at the negotiating table with the political representatives who actually have the power and the authority to open the bridge. And I wish that they would do that. There's very few passages of the protocol with which we don't have agreement. And so for my mind, not sitting in their chairs, it seems to me that it's very doable to open the bridge. But I don't experience the political pressures that they experience. I don't have the various political actors working on me that they have. And so I have to respect the fact that if this were easy for them to do, they would have done it, and that they're under significant pressure.
Pe cât de actuală este problema funcționării celor 6 puncte de control al migrației la frontiera administrativă cu regiunea transnistreană? Este o măsură care face parte din planul de acțiuni pentru liberalizarea regimului de vize cu Uniunea Europeană. Chișinăul și Tiraspolul ar putea să ajungă la un consens, la un compromis?
This is a Moldovan EU matter, the migration posts, and I would rather not comment on a negotiation or an activity that's going on between the European Union and the Republic of Moldova. But I would say that those posts have caused considerable concern in Moldova, in Transnistria, and maybe it's coincidental, maybe not, that soon after those migration posts started to be discussed, Moldova or Transnistria passed a law on state borders, which of course created considerable controversy here in Chișinău and really throughout Europe. You've seen there's been reactions most recently from the United States about that law. So I'm concerned about the escalation of tensions that those posts and the law on state borders have caused. I look to both political representatives and the leadership on both sides of the river to carry out an information campaign to be able to acquaint the public on both sides of the river about what those migration posts are and what they're not. I also understand the need for holders of Russian and Ukrainian passports to be able to transit freely through Moldova, and we're working closely with the government of Moldova to find some type of a solution to how those passport holders can get themselves registered as permanent residents of Transnistria / Moldova. And we're looking forward to working with the government of Moldova for finding a solution to that. I am impressed that there was a law on the migration posts and fines that was supposed to have been considered on Friday, and I am impressed that that law was withdrawn until such time as you can find a solution to how to deal with Russian and Ukrainian passport holders who reside in the territory of Transnistria.
Și totuși, în toamnă, legislativul de la Chișinău va reveni la proiectul de lege privind controlul migrațiunii pentru segmentul transnistrian al frontierei dintre Republica Moldova și Ucraina. Așa că o lege în acest sens ar putea fi adoptată și ce se întâmplă mai departe?
Well, autumn is 4 months. It's a long time. Of course, the legislative branch of the Moldovan government is independent from the executive branch. I would hope that they could work together so that they would not create a situation that creates more tensions. And I hope they would give each other the time and space and patience to be able to come to a decision on how to manage that issue, that the issue of Russian and Ukrainian passport holders. But for that, we also need the cooperation of the Russian Federation and Ukraine. So it's a complicated issue.
Dar misiunea EUBAM ar putea fi de ajutor în rezolvarea acestei probleme?
I'm not sure about the role of EUBAM. You'd have to ask them, but I would always look forward to the cooperation of EUBAM.
Ucraina, țară care deține președinția OSCE, s-a oferit să găzduiască o întrevedere a lui Yuri Leancă cu Evgeni Șefciuc. Premierul Leancă nu exclude posibilitatea unei asemenea întrevederi. El a declarat acest lucru într-un interviu acordat postului de radio Europa Liberă. S-ar cere o asemenea întrevedere?
Of course it's important for them to meet, and that's one of the priorities of my office and the Ukrainian chairmanship, to find a place for them to meet. There's two different views about the circumstances under which they could meet. One view is they've never met each other, from what I understand. They don't know each other at all. And that the first meeting should just be a meeting without too much pressure to actually accomplish or agree on any type of confidence-building measure, let's say. The other point of view is, what's the point of having them meet unless they actually accomplish something? So I think both points of view are understandable. I will do whatever I can to facilitate the meeting, but I have to agree I'm of the view that there shouldn't be conditions to having them meet, and that having a first meeting is very important. There'll be subsequent meetings, of course, and during those subsequent meetings, they will have a lot that they need to discuss and they need to decide. But we saw during the meetings with Mr. Filat and Mr. Shevchuk that when the two of them do meet, they're able to overcome political obstacles, and so we look forward to that.
În acest format de negocieri 5+2, când veți discuta la modul concret problemele politice? De exemplu, să abordați proiectul unui statut politic al regiunii transnistrene. Deocamdată puneți accent doar pe aspectele sociale, economice.
I think we've had this conversation before, and my answer this time to you is the answer that I had last time for you, that everything we discuss is political. It is a political negotiation. There's not a single question that we touch upon that doesn't have a political impact and that touches indeed upon status. So I understand, and of course I'm still relatively new to this conflict. It's been going on for 21 years and I've only been here for 1 year. But I understand that during the past 20 years, confidence has eroded and deteriorated. And I believe there is room to do things together to be able to build confidence between the two sides and to be able to demonstrate to the populations of both sides, some of whom have grown up entirely in a conflict situation, it's been 20 years, to demonstrate to both sides that really a peaceful reconciliation is, or a peaceful settlement of the process, is in everybody's best interests. And so that's going to take a little bit of time. It's going to take the goodwill of both sides, and it's going to take all actors or all stakeholders, including the press, to be able to educate the public about the benefits. I call it the peace dividend of conflict resolution.
Doamna ambasadoare, cât de mult contează soluționarea problemei transnistrene pentru parcursul european al Republicii Moldova?
That's a question you're really going to have to ask the European Union. It's not mine to talk about. I can just tell you that conflict resolution is always the goal of European values.
Pe moment, ce ne puteți spune despre nivelul de încredere dintre Chișinău și Tiraspol?
It's a good sign that they keep on coming back to the negotiating table. Frankly, they should meet more frequently, and I'm disappointed that they don't meet more frequently. We will do everything in the OSCE office's ability to be able to provide the forum, to be able to provide the premises, to be able to have the political representatives meet more frequently. but they definitely need to work more frequently. I hope between now and the next round of 5+2 that I'll be able to put the freedom of movement protocol in front of them and go point by point to be able to find solutions really to the only four outstanding points that remain on that protocol.
Următoarea rundă de negocieri este planificată pentru 3 octombrie la Bruxelles. Ce probleme ar trebui să se regăsească pe agenda negocierilor din toamnă?
Well, I'm hoping that we have movement on the freedom of movement protocol. I'm hoping that we have movement on the law enforcement cooperation protocol. We have considerable movement already on the education protocol, which is finding a basis or a standing for the Latin script schools in Transnistria, but also the issue of nostrification of Transnistrian degrees, university degrees. So I hope we have more movement forward on those issues. We were not able, unfortunately, to discuss media, but I would hope between now and then that we could continue the discussion about having Moldovan television stations transmit in Transnistria, be carried in Transnistria, be accessible to Transnistria, and having Transnistrian television stations be accessible here in Moldova. We need to have that conversation. We're also unable in this 5+2 meeting to discuss the civil society and media forum, which had been an Irish initiative. It turns out that that ends up being very time-consuming and very sensitive work, and we want to make sure that we get it right. But we hoped between now and then be able to get that process started. And there's also the human rights forum that had been initiated by the Irish chairmanship. We now have the list of participants suggested by both sides. We need to have terms of reference for that human rights working group, and we hope to have that group up and running before the 5+2 in Brussels as well. One thing the sides did agree to was to hold a seminar by the International Peace Institute, a seminar of other examples of conflict resolution. And what I'm hoping that seminar will also bring out is, again, this idea of the peace dividend, to be able to demonstrate to the parties what the peace dividend is for settling the conflict. So we look forward to that seminar as well.
Până la finele acestui an, perioada cât Ucraina va mai deține președinția Organizației pentru Securitate și Cooperare în Europa, pot fi înregistrate rezultate concrete?
Well, of course, they already have results. They've managed to keep the process going under really serious challenges. Let's not forget that for a number of months there was only a technical government in Moldova. So the Ukrainian chairmanship lost time while the government of Moldova was more focused and concentrating on putting a government back together. That was a large and significant loss of time. So I would say that they've accomplished a lot in the short period of time. It's only July. There's lots of time left. If they get the meeting of the Prime Minister and Mr. Shevchuk, that would be a big accomplishment. And we hope to get the bridge opened, of course.
Dar rămâneți optimistă că acest conflict transnistrian poate fi rezolvat?
Well, I hear various points of view. For example, I hear the public, the people who listen to your show, don't have much interest in resolving the conflict, that it's very low on the priority scale for the average Moldovan, let's say. I assume even for the average Transnistrian, solving the conflict doesn't seem to have a very high priority. That's a big challenge for me. But I have to ask you, and I have to ask your listeners or your readers, what's the other option? I just hear that people are disinterested. Are people interested in living in this type of economic stagnation, in this type of political limbo? Actually, in this atmosphere of fear almost, not knowing what one side's going to do. I don't think that that's the optimal way for people, modern Europeans, to live. And I hope that your listeners and your readers would take more of an interest in settling this conflict and see that settling the conflict is in their best interests. If the conflict is not solved, I ask you, what happens then? What's the next step?
Dacă Republica Moldova va parafa acordul de asociere cu Uniunea Europeană, discuțiile în formatul de negocieri 5+2 pe tema crizei transnistrene vor fi altele sau abordarea va rămâne aceeași?
Again, you're talking about the EU association agreement. That's really a question you need to ask the European Union. It's really not my area of expertise. I would just say that the people of Moldova voted in the last election for an EU perspective, and I wish them well in that EU perspective, but the neighborhood that Moldova lives in is not going to change. And it's in Moldova's best interest to have good relations with all of its neighbors. and with all of the various players in the region.
Federalizarea Republicii Moldova ar fi o problemă de actualitate?
You know, I never change my answer to this question. And the answer is always that I come from a federation. There's a number of very successful federations around the world. I live happily in my federation and I would never change it. But I understand that because of the COSAC plan and the history of that plan, that word is not politically acceptable to the public of Moldova or to the current leadership of Moldova. I think that's unfortunate because federalism is not a bad word. It's not a bad system. But there will be, inevitably, some type of devolution of competencies, and there will be decentralization of decision-making, no matter what we call.
O să revin la o întrebare pe care vă adresam ceva mai devreme. De ce nu se insistă asupra identificării unui statut special pentru regiunea transnistreană?
Who do you want to come up with that project? Do you want it to come from the outside or should it come from within Moldova? I think it's very hard for me to sit here even after a year and a half and tell you Moldovans what's best for you. I don't think that's my role. I think the role of your elites and your stakeholders and civil society is to yourselves think about your political situation and think about what the best way forward is for you to get out of this conflict. But whatever solution we have, it has to come from within. It can't be imposed upon you.
Ce mesaj aveți pentru populația de pe cele două maluri ale Nistrului?
My message for the populations on both sides of the river is to take an interest in this process. I think it's, as I said earlier, too easy just to say, oh, it'll never be solved. It will never be solved unless the population of both sides of the river take an interest in solving this. And they demand that their political elites solve this problem. It can't come from the head of the OSCE mission to Moldova that I tell them it's important. It has to come from the people.